Gearhart's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gearhart Podcast.
Hey, Dan Alexander, our producer, I see, is jumping up and down. He's flapping his arms.
Looks like he's trying to land his
It's either we're on or he's a pre-Thanksgiving turkey imitation over there. I don't know. Hi, I'm Jim Gearhart along with Bob Williams. Bob, I'm going to let you set this up today. We wanted to try something. This whole affair is pretty much experimental.
Yeah.
And just to see how close you can come to like a talk radio show without the immediate vocal content.
For the last couple of weeks, Bill, in the morning, we've been taking phone calls from candidates running for election on various offices on the local town level to district to the assembly, which is up for grabs. Mm-hmm. So we've been taking various calls over the last couple of weeks, and we figure we'll try it here on the Facebook format.
Sure.
To allow candidates their couple of moments to express their platforms and what they're mm-hmm. going to do if they're elected. Just a couple of minor guidelines. We really want you to send, if you're the candidate, that we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from friends of yours. We want to hear from your Facebook page, your sign-in, or your candidate's campaign Facebook page. So that's where we want the Good. Comments to come from.
Something else I think would be interesting if there are local public questions. This, you do not have to be a candidate, I think, or so. But we'd like to know what they are. You know, what's going on out there? Who's trying to raise money for what, no doubt, nefarious purpose out there?
And we want to hear the positives about your campaign, not so much about what the other person is not going to do or what they've failed to do if you're running against an incumbent, but the good things that you're going to do if you're elected. Now, like I said, there's variety of offices up for grabs, council positions throughout the towns. You've got county freeholder positions up for grabs, all the way up to the state assembly. The entire state assembly is up for election.
Senate.
No, the assembly people. They're up for grabs too, so the entire assembly. So lots to hear from. We've got about mm-hmm. a half an hour here that we're looking to hear from your points. So mm-hmm. bring them on down. We'll highlight them. And the good thing is that this broadcast will be posted on our website right mm-hmm. through Election Day and beyond.
Well, that's
so
true, yeah.
Whatever is talked about here or posted will be there for your reference, so you can even tell your constituents that, hey, I was mentioned on the Jim Gearhart podcast on October 24th. So look that up in the archives and see what I had to say and see what the comments are about it.
Do you know who your assembly people are?
It's
what district?
I think I'm in the sixth district. You know, I've got to look that up myself.
But, I had to also. Usually when we were working, we knew these things cold because we talked to these people all the time. But all of a sudden, I said, "Hey, you know, gosh, you know." And sure enough, there's a name or two here that I wasn't that familiar with.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bob has laid that down. I just while we're setting this up, I have a couple of disappointing events. One is, Bob, that I'm wearing black today, as you can see, and that is in memorial. My 2000 Subaru Forester died.
Oh, no. You had that since it was a brand new. Did you buy it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my
God.
Yes. 20 years.
What a great car. But unfortunately, during the latter, probably the last 10 years, I've had other cars, so it had limited use. And what happened was over a period of time, and probably because of a lot of misuse, what happened was I was driving, thank heavens, I was pulling into my driveway at home, hit the brakes and went right black.
Oh.
And I pulled up and I looked behind and there was all the brake fluid lying in my driveway.
Oh, it's like your car bled out.
Yeah, they had bled out and they said everything had sort of rotted out, you know, over the period of time. So I'm saying Kaddish today for my Subaru Forester. The other thing, you talk about disappointing, the University of Washington, mm-hmm. which is almost my old alma mater. I used to do one of my metamorphoses when I worked in Seattle. I went out with the broadcast team, and I was the guy standing, you know, with the microphone on the field. And so, but anyway, so I do have a memory. The University of Washington, a professor there has called out SpongeBob SquarePants for being a racist.
Really?
I'm not kidding. SpongeBob SquarePants his racist, violent colonial practices. Now, I'd never noticed any of those.
He's a hard-working young fellow.
I always suspected his relationship with Patrick, but that's another matter. Right. They didn't get called out for that.
No, they're just buddies, yeah.
They wouldn't call him out for that.
I mean, just a hard-working restaurant guy,
I'm going to finish this because this shows this. Al Kelly, the old comedian who used to do Double Talk, could not come up with this. Professor Holly Barker argues that the cartoon sponge who lives in the fictional undersea town of Bikini Bottom symbolically perpetuates the violent and racist expulsion of indigenous peoples from the real world Bikini Atoll, once used by the U.S. for nuclear testing, and thus desensitizes viewers to the violence of settler colonialism.
Settler colonialism.
And this person's teaching kids. Probably she's allowed to reproduce, too. I tell you what, we're getting set up here. Divert a little second, this is your baby, so you can keep up with and get the comments. Mark says, please help us with the left lane dicks. Mark, for 26 long years, I harangued against that practice left lane dickery, the person who gets out there on the highway and hogs the passing lane. Mm. I'm not sure that I ever got anywhere with it, but we gave it a try.
I don't know what to do. I mean, I see them every day. You see them every day. It seems like they're multiplying. Doesn't seem like they're becoming extinct.
Especially
Pennsylvania drivers. Sorry, PA.
Yeah.
You PA drivers, you're coming out of New Hope going north on 202. You just annoy the daylights out of me going north.
I used to, going on 295 at home, if I would see or get behind or see a Pennsylvania driver or Pennsylvania plates on a car, I would drop off or else pull off to the side of the road till he got out of sight. There's going to be trouble. With a Pennsylvania license plate, there's going to be some kind of trouble.
It seems like they stake out their lane, and it's like, this is my territory. Well, you want to go around me, go around
I figured out. These are Pennsylvanians, right? Uh-huh. They are the descendants of colonialists who were English.
Right.
Now, the English drive in the left lane.
Yes.
And I think this is perpetuating that. Is what the Pennsylvania drivers do.
I never thought about it.
Well, you give these things thought. You see, everything has a solution. So, all right.
Back to your Subaru for a second. So, you got a lot of miles out of that, right?
How many? Oh, got a lot. It was into the hundreds or so. It was not. People could get more because they tell me that the dealers that they come are the service people. Yeah. People come in there with 300,000 miles on it. I expected the engine's beautiful.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to get a good engine out of this thing.
And that got you through a lot of snowstorms getting to the radio station.
So there I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it also, I guess the plus side of it is it opens up some parking area in my garage.
you're not going to replace it?
In my, I don't know. See, I have another one, though. I have a 20. I have a 2011 one, too.
Oh, okay.
I'm never without a backup Subaru. I'm not selling these. I mean, this is not a commercial. But I always thought this is the greatest family-type car that there is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I have to settle with the other cars now.
Now, Solius?
He's
trying
cars.
To sell you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
There was a day. us poor old retired folk. You know, we find it difficult to go right out and buy new cars. Okay, other things that are going on here. I saw some, Bob, why don't you, okay, here we go.
I'm
going to let you handle this now.
All right.
This is what you had asked for.
All right, so this is D. Van,
Is he a candidate?
Not a candidate. Is this just a comment?
He's not a candidate. Okay, you go ahead.
It says, Red Bank resident who takes New Jersey Transit back and forth to New York for 15 years. Christy blew our funds for infrastructure by holding them hostage. Mm-hmm. Murphy promised to make the move on cannabis legislation, which coincidentally will bring in hundreds of millions into New Jersey to help with the roads, bridges, trains, and to assist people get off pharmaceuticals. Cannabis is an off-ramp, not an on-ramp. We need someone who has some...
Cajones. Is the word. Perfectly good word.
In that seat.
All right. Well, that's
okay.
That's just, You know, speaking of that, I saw a story this morning. The New Jersey State Department of Health now is proposing that they give, I'm not sure whether it's give, sell, or what, marijuana to people who are addicted to opioids.
Okay, as a, right.
Well, isn't that kind of like giving free beer to alcoholics who are trying to break the habit? I don't know. I've it's one area I've not really had any experience with.
We're talking about broken promises. Our current governor's been in office in, what, 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
He is disappointed that the legalized marijuana coalition, they are very disappointed.
Oh, sure, of course.
I mean, we get comments from time to time. It's like, where's my legalized weed? You promised. I voted for you. So that brings a little bit disenchantment, I would say,
I think,
a young or impressionable voter that really puts their confidence in a candidate.
I think since we already had legal medicinal marijuana laws, it seemed to be a shoe-in that this would happen.
Right.
And, of course, here we have a heavily loaded Democratic legislature, a Democratic governor. So this administration so far, I'm not sure people wonder, everybody's looking for a legacy. Mm. And I don't know that there will be one. I think this would be kind of like the Corzine administration. Nobody remembers it.
Yeah.
And you say, who?
Right.
So, of course, that is a work in progress. Oh, deer season.
Yes, it just started.
And I do this, I like to do this because I think it's very important. I want to get a message to deer. I would like, be sure to practice safe rut.
How does one do that?
I don't, it's not my problem. I have a problem with myself. I'm not going to worry about the deer. Okay, so we're fishing here for people who...
The American Dream or Nightmare Mall is opening tomorrow.
But it's just limited opening, isn't it?
I think it's the grand opening, isn't it? No, it's just a limited... Well, it's not... There's technicality. Dan was telling us that they have a problem with the certificate of occupancy. Is that still an issue?
How long has that been going on?
Come on in here, Director. Tell us all
about
it.
Oh, here comes Dan Alexander.
Here comes Dan. Now, who's running the controls since you're up front now?
Oh, it's the 2000, the 2020. It can do it itself. Okay. So American Dream opens up in what they call chapters. So this is the first chapter, which is going to be the Nickelodeon Universe amusement park with 35 rides, and also the ice rink, which has an NHL regulation size rink.
Oh, is that part of the old arena, I guess? Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
But basically, that's all it's opening. None of the retail stores will be open or the restaurants until March.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is that they don't have this certificate of occupancy. As of yesterday, they didn't have it. Now, I have a message into the Department of Community Affairs this morning to see if what the status is, and they said they'd get back to me. So, but they need that in order to actually occupy the,
right.
the
CO,
open the
yeah.
doors.
Right. Anybody needs a CO.
Right.
I'm sure if it gets push comes to shove, that'll get taken care of very quickly. There's too much at stake here politically.
Perhaps.
To delay that thing, the normal 90 days or whatever it takes to get a CO, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Got to go back.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
And
I was hoping they'd open the Chick-fil-A so we can get the rioting over with and,
yes.
and out of the way.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And you heard about parking, right? They're going to charge for parking at that garage up at the mall.
Uh-huh.
I think the first 30 minutes is free, and then it goes up to $6 for 3 hours, and it goes up.
I don't know. I think to some extent it's going to be, I think, patterned on the Great Mall in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they handle things like that. And listener says, what a joke. Mall closed in less than 5 years. Who's got the over-under? You know, I was here. You were probably here, too. I don't know if you were involved in it, but I remember that George Zoffinger.
George, yes.
George, who was probably the most capable person in government, I think, in the time that we've been covering government here. He was the director of the Sports and Exposition Authority.
Very good one,
George came in one day with some pictures and maps, and he said, this is a new plan. This is what we're going to do. This is the first time we heard of it. He said, "This, look at this." And I saw this beautiful layout of a shopping mall, and it had Xanadu.
Oh, okay, yes, yeah, the Xanadu.
And so George was pitching Xanadu, and he's telling how wonderful this was going to be. Now, that had to be in probably the 1990s.
Yeah, probably before they closed the arena, because they closed the arena. Well, they scaled back after the sports teams left in the late 2000s. The Nets were gone in the mid-2000s, and then the Devils moved over to Newark in like 2008, 2009, so...
But the thing, they've been working on it ever since then.
Yeah. Right.
So we, last week, you brought this up, and I'm trying to remember how it came up. I guess the Crazy Horse statue.
Yeah, so in South Dakota.
In South Dakota. And I looked this up, and I got rather interested in that. Now, the latest picture I saw, they've been doing it in 1948. The caller, or the person who corrected us, I think we said it was started in the 60s. It started in 1948.
Right.
And they're carving this picture of Crazy Horse, who was the Sioux war leader.
In the mountain, similar to what they've done with Mount Rushmore. So,
yeah, very similar. It's supposed to be, I guess, to give the other side of a picture of Mount Rushmore.
I think it's in this
with the natives.
They
were the Wasajus, which I think was the word that the Indians used for the white soldiers. Okay. But anyway, it seemed to me, as long as they haven't finished this, they could make quick work of it, because the latest picture I saw had a torso and the head.
Right.
Is that what you had? You had
yes,
a picture of it last week.
That's pretty much
And the horse's head.
Right, and a big stone in the front.
Okay.
Which is supposed to
now, that is elaborate. The horse's, the head, the whatever you call it, like the shoulders, the legs, and everything in the front. That takes a lot of time and effort. But what if they started with the other end and they just did this huge thing of a horse's backside? And until they finish, they can say that this is a memorial to the United States Congress, instead of tying it. You know, while it's a work in progress.
I like the way you think.
All right. Not many people do. But. Okay, so.
So back to the mall. So predictions. You think it's going to, is it going to succeed?
I have no idea, but you see malls closing all the time around here. I don't know if you don't see it all the time, but I do know some malls that have closed.
A lot of them are running under capacity, that's
people
for sure.
Well,
retail is not what it used to be.
Well, Amazon, and it's...
Now, if they were going to build an Amazon facility the size of the American Dream Mall, then you'd say that maybe that would have a chance of success. Absolutely. But and they're saying the traffic may be a little bit more. I think we're going to have to wait to see what's going to happen. It's in a very, very heavily traveled corridor over by the Meadowlands, the sports stadium, and the racetrack. And we're going to have to wait to see how that traffic pans out.
So somebody's telling us here that they're what do they say it is? They
not
say
a mall.
It's not a mall.
It's not a mall. It's a.
It's an unmall.
It's a destination, I guess. I guess that's what they're calling it.
Well,
isn't everything a destination?
You can see what they're trying to do. I hope it works. I think it would be great, because they're going to employ a scad of people.
Right.
Now, again, how many, 8,000 or 18,000 or something like that? I saw
thousands,
a huge figure, thousands. Now, where are they going to park? And once they've parked,
yeah, where are you going to park?
Who's left? It's an entertainment and amusement complex. Good work. In the beginning, it probably will. Hopefully they will not have these difficulties with some of the shenanigans that go on, you know, sometimes in these.
Right.
I know a mall that has pretty much, it has closed down now, as far as I know, but I think the kiss of death was when there were not open gang violence, but groups. Right. Largely of young people who were causing disturbances, and people became afraid to go
right,
there.
Right, and if the reputation starts to precede itself, then that really will not do well for the long-term success of the mall or the destination.
All right, so we will find out. What else is going on here? We got all kind of stuff here. Oh, you know, and this is a small thing, but I threw this out last week, I think. State slogans. Do we have, Dan, do we have an official state tourist slogan right now? Yeah, okay, look that up. Now, if we do, it's probably pretty lame. everything is competing with Governor Kane and walking on the beach and saying, New Jersey, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect
and you,
together.
Perfect together. So they come up with these things, but here was one for the books. This was back when Dick Cody was governor. And they decided that they didn't like the slogan they had at the time, and I don't remember what it was. It's probably something very dynamic, like "Come see the beach" or something. But and I don't remember any of these things. They weren't notable.
What was they it, had wasn't Christie's slogan "Get the hell off the beach" back when the
that was
with,
pretty
with
good.
Christie,
that
was
pretty, good.
That's when we've had.
But I think what happened though, the Chambers of Commerce said, no, that's not exactly what we have in mind. That's not the direction we had it going. But this was, they had a big contest. And there was apparently a pretty valuable prize at this for the public to come up with a new slogan. And so people came up and they sent in slogans. This was getting into the fall. And this contest ran from fall. They were going to pick a winner at the last day of December.
Oh,
and
nice.
So, okay, Christie signed a bill making the slogan...
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's
I'm seeing that as well. Yeah, Garden State.
That's the official state slogan, like the official state bird and
yeah,
flower and everything but a song.
But no, I mean, maybe like a we're looking for.
I'm talking about a tourist slogan.
Tourism slogan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for the information, but a tourist slogan.
Yeah. Let's look that up. There.
But anyway, they had the contest, and at the last day of the year, when they were supposed to announce the winner, Governor Cody got up and said, "Well, actually, I think we're going to extend the contest." They didn't have anything close to a winner. So they extended the contest, and they kept extending. And that was about the last we ever heard of it. Finally, in order to get it over with, they had somebody in the Department of Tourism write a slogan. And it was a stinker. But the thing that remains with me is that the Star-Ledger had a contest of their own. They came up with, from readers, some good slogans. One I loved. And I bet you can remember what it is. This is my all-time favorite. It came in, I think, second or so in their contest, but theirs wasn't official, and it didn't get it. And the slogan was for tourists, New Jersey, small state, big attitude.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, how come that wasn't...
Well, because that, I don't know, I think, you know, Bob Engel came up with one, he and Sandy McClure, when they wrote the book, New Jersey, the Soprano State.
Mm.
Okay, tourist slogan is Discover the Garden State. Wow.
That's just...
That is dynamic.
Makes you want to come to
the
state. Oh,
boy, makes you want to pick up and move.
Oof.
Move away so I can come back.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, gosh.
What's going on? I guess the big news now, we're getting into... Here's another interesting thing, and I think what's happening here, a lot of stuff that is big news now. I'm going to interrupt what I'm saying here because some of these comments are really good. Joe says liberal candidates don't have to campaign in New Jersey. They get elected 10 minutes before the polls open.
That's why they're not responding.
Okay. No, this is a serious matter. This is it's pretty much a one-party state. I don't know what's happened to the Republican Party. The Republican Party, both locally and almost nationally, has sort of faded out.
Yeah.
They seem to lack any, you call it charismatic, dynamic, or leadership.
Yeah.
And the closest they can get, I think, is to get somebody who's already famous and try to make them a candidate.
Right.
Or get somebody who has a pile of money,
notoriety,
which, of course, both parties are doing now.
Money, yeah.
So when we talk about this, I think, it does not show that I or Bob necessarily have that great when we're criticizing government, a political leaning, because the Republicans, and I once ran afoul of a very powerful Republican here one time on the air, and he was telling about why an election coming up, if you don't like what you should vote Republican. I pointed out to him, we did that in the year 2002, that we elected a Republican governor, Christine Todd Whitman, and we elected a Republican legislature, the Senate, and asked, and what do they do? Nothing.
Yeah.
So why should we do it again? Yeah. I mean, it was a period in which nothing really positive happened at all. There was no reform in anything. In fact, the most notable memory that I have of that administration was when they instituted the automobile inspection, gave the contract for inspecting our automobiles, which at that time was very stringent, and all kind of tests they did. And they gave it to a company that had given, I believe it was $280,000 or thereabouts to the Republican Party. So there wasn't any question about it. And the rumor was at the time that somehow the Department of Transportation had cooked the request for, what do they call it, the RPAs or RPIs? Or
bids.
Bids, yeah, requests for bids. They cooked it so there's only this one company could qualify. They got it, and it was a god-awful mess. If you remember that, anybody remember that? Maybe you don't go back that far. This would have been in the early, mid-90s, and inspection was just total hell. Dan, you remember that.
It was awful.
And you'd stand in line for hours. Nobody knew what they were doing. They had all of this hugely expensive new dynamometer equipment that didn't work.
It didn't work in the cold weather.
In the cold weather, it didn't work.
What was the name of that company that...
They still have it, so I'm not going to knock the company, because the company itself got it straightened out, and they're doing a very good job now.
They're still doing it.
Well, it was a Parsons company is what it was.
Yeah, right.
But in the beginning, and I don't blame the company necessarily, the company was pretty much handed the contract and said, here, you figure out what to do. Here's what we want inspected. And now they did everything except, you know, pull the piston rings and check for fingerprints and something.
And it took an inordinate amount of time.
But it was, and that was just one instance here. People were crying at that time for automobile insurance reform. That was the big thing. And remember, we had this young woman who got petition going, and she got hundreds of thousands of signatures demanding there be some reform in automobile insurance. She took it down, delivered it to Chris Christie, who came out and actually accepted the truckload of petitions, signatures, but then nothing was done about it. And then eventually, the legislature, which was very busy doing nothing the whole time, and the governor later, of course, had eyes... Well, she got reelected, of course. It barely beat this young man from Woodbridge named Jim McGreevy that nobody'd heard of.
Right.
But he came very close to upsetting her. And then she went on and then had eyes to become the vice presidential candidate for George Bush.
That got
shot down when she unfortunately had a picture of her frisking a young black man in Camden.
Yes.
Who at that time was innocent.
That thing went viral.
It went viral, and of course, no national political party is going to have... Now, she wasn't hurting him. I mean, it was a setup. They had him up with his hands against the wall, and she had a big smile on her face pretending to frisk him.
Very poor optics.
That was known as the picture.
Yeah.
But that was sort of the end of that candidacy, and of course, she went on to the... resigned and went on to the... The Department of Economic. No,
yeah,
it's
EPA.
EPA.
EPA. Yes.
Not the. What's the local one? The.
DEP.
DEP, EPA, LSMFT. Everybody's got initials nowadays.
But then she left, and then she left the door open for McGreevy.
Ann says. Now I don't. I'm seeing. I haven't had a chance to scan.
So glad you're finally here. The liberals are selling our state down the river from the Hudson to the Manasquan, all the way down to the mouth of the Delaware. Those who disagree might just as well stay home and not vote.
This is a problem. How do you persuade a person? How do I persuade myself to vote? It's pretty well set. There's not a congressional election, but we have one Republican congressman, and when Chris Smith retires, I think that's sort of the end of that.
And
the same thing with the legislature. I think there are out of 80 legislatures. There are, 30 Republicans?
Yeah, it's a very small amount.
It's overwhelming.
It's getting smaller every election cycle.
And so where this leads, I have no idea. But it's, this is the reason I ask if there are local issues. Now, sometimes a local public question, an issue can get on the ballot and can, at least stimulate you to go to the polling place. Now what they're doing, they're trying to get as many people as possible to do the mail-in ballots.
Right, which is...
Which is easier to manipulate in a pinch.
Yes.
If it's not overwhelming enough.
We're down by 2,000. Let's dig 500 out of the drawer.
You can be doggone sure that it is overwhelming.
So if you... I don't know if I asked you last time, I forget, but governor's elections tomorrow. Who do you vote for if you're voting Republican? Who's the Republican candidate for governor? The upcoming.
Well, that's some time off.
Yeah,
it's 2 years off.
Right now, if it was held today, who would be the lead?
I have no idea. Well, you get Tom Kane Jr. again. That's not going to work. You get...
Kim Guadagno, would she be interested?
I don't think that would work.
No. Who's the guy that ran for Senate? That Bob, the guy who just ran against Menendez. What's his, the Republican that just lost to Menendez? Bob...
Hell, how quickly we forget.
Oh, gosh. See how memorable. I'm sorry?
Lonergan?
No, Steve Lonergan. Steve Lonergan, I think he, I don't think he ran. He was in the primary. Be all that as it may.
Bob, oh, God. What, Guggen?
you have no idea.
I can't even remember the guy's name. He just ran for Senate.
Okay, well.
Gosh, but anyway, but would he be a lead Republican? Because he did pretty well. I mean, he had a nice following.
I don't know why they don't have one.
Guggen. I was close. I said
good
Guggen.
Heavens. I totally forgot Guggen. That. Yeah.
And that's only less than two years ago. Gosh.
Well, I have no idea. There are good people. You know who would have probably have ended up maybe as the fair-haired person who might get somewhere was, for heaven's sakes, the Bridgegate. The Bridgegate. Bill Baroni. You ever meet Bill Baroni?
No.
Now, back when he was first in the legislature, he was in the station, of course. We used to have everybody coming by. Here was a young person. He was intelligent. He had a very good appearance. And I think he was going somewhere in the party, and all of a sudden he ends up out of office, but working for the Port Authority, and got himself into trouble with the Bridgegate thing. So that was one shot down. I don't know of anybody, I really don't, who would. Now, here's what happens. I don't think this is of any great disadvantage to the county people, which are very powerful organizations who pretty much call the shots. They will find somebody with a pile of money.
And
yes, because this is good, because the person can, a very rich man, such as the current governor and Corzine and others, they can put up their own money, which means that it doesn't have to come out of the local treasury. So we had that, a good example of that in the Republican side was in the 3rd Congressional District. 2 years ago, or more than that now, because last year they had an election and a Democrat was elected, he had pretty much bought the Republican nomination in the 3rd Congressional District, which is Burlington, Ocean Counties, I think, and maybe a touch of Monmouth or something, and became the elected representative with the party backing, the party money and his money. He won the election and he went to Congress. Then he got voted out 2 years later. It just didn't work. I don't think, again, these rich people often have their heart in it, because it's a toy, something to play with. They get bored. I mean, these are highly intelligent people, and they probably have restless brains, and so they want to do this. I know John Corzine, as I've mentioned many a time, told me one time, we were talking about it, and I asked, you know, are you having fun being governor? Are you enjoying this? And he said, you know, I really miss being in business. I love business. Mm. And I think from then on, he just... He's a perfect example of somebody like a dog. I'm not comparing him with a dog, obviously, who chases a car and catches it. And what does he do? What are you going to do?
What are you doing?
Ann says...
I have a 2008 Impreza that I plan to drive until it falls off its hinges. It's about to turn over to its first 100,000. Love that little run around from snowstorms to beach runs, and it always does what I need it to do.
Anna. Only 100,000 miles. That's just warming that car.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not selling those. It's just that for some reason I always have these.
Dependable.
No matter what.
We got one because of you.
Did you?
Yeah, we got one for Brendan a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Great.
From our buddy Steve Califer.
Somebody told me. I didn't mean to do this. I get nothing from the company or anything. It's just we're talking about cars. And I mention it, and one of the people at the dealership said one time, he said, you know, you've sold more Subarus than Jack, mentioning that top salesman.
Jack over there at his
desk. I didn't mean to do it.
Listen, you're just speaking from good experience.
Anybody, you can talk about other kind of cars. I've got nothing against any of it. I have five cars.
You got the Miatas and you got the Porsches.
I forget. All right. Yeah, I've got other cars. So We heard from, okay. If you see us looking oddly away from the camera, we have a great big TV screen over here with very small print on it.
But what we've been doing here, we've been welcoming candidates to chime in. If you're running for office, whatever level, you can post your comments here, and we'll share them with the audience. And it'll be posted here.
It's okay if you choose not to, but I mean, we just thought we'd give this a shot.
Right, yeah.
Now, we could do it again. Maybe next week, the word will get around, and we could do this.
We can try to get
the election is 2 weeks from last Tuesday. This is Thursday, so 2 weeks. Yeah, I think it's on the 5th. Yeah. We heard from Stephen Pacraduni, Jr., running in the 4th District, but nothing from him in terms of a pitch.
So he's just checking in to say, hey.
Well, he got his name out there.
Right.
Pacraduni. All right.
It's okay. Thanks, Stephen.
We're going to vote for Stephen.
We don't know what you're going to do, but thanks for checking in.
Yeah. This is like, remember with the famous episode when Christy Whitman was running for office, and she was looking for support. She was trying to get on the Howard Stern show.
I'm sorry.
And she eventually did. But Stern said, okay, I'll let her on the show, and we'll let her do her pitch if she will name a rest stop after me.
and lo and behold.
And she did. She named the restroom
on 295.
On 295, this is closed now.
It was a small little outhouse type thing. I don't know, was it south of your exits?
No. It was down to Columbus. It's between
Florence,
and what's the next one? Burlington.
And I think the sign, because it said Howard Stern Rest Area, and I think it only lasted a couple of weeks before somebody stole the sign.
That's right.
And then it was done.
Anyway,
somebody from Christine Todd Whitman's campaign actually took it down. Who knows?
I'm tempted to do something fairly serious, but this doesn't seem to be the day for it. So it will. Oh, just a couple of things. Now, see, we're watching all of these things come in. Some we're talking, and some we're simply noting. But I told you about the SpongeBob.
Yes.
And that's very disappointing. SpongeBob. But you know, there will be. People are so wrapped up in this frenzy.
Yeah.
This
racism frenzy.
Yeah, and that there will be people who are actually probably going to demonstrate in front of TV stations to stop carrying SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Now, in New Jersey, we have SleazeBob, one of the one of our elected officials.
About,
yeah. But they haven't come down on him yet.
No, but that's a shame. How many generations have gone through SpongeBob? At least two or three?
I love SpongeBob.
Love SpongeBob.
Yeah.
I think the creator passed away, though. Stephen Hillenburg.
I have no idea. I know one time at the aquarium, they had a thing there where you could go sit in a small auditorium. This is in Camden, the New Jersey Aquarium. And you could sit in a small auditorium with elevated seats in it, and a huge screen. And they had this very, very, almost 3D SpongeBob and Patrick.
Oh.
Perfectly innocent activity between them. And when they were splashing, their water would spray up into the audience if something happened. It was very cool. What else is going on here?
Stephen. Stephen Pacaruni. Pacraduni.
What is best for the taxpayer will be our first priority once in Trenton.
Yeah,
right.
That sounds like deja vu all over again.
Right, okay.
I've only heard about 6,000 candidates for office saying, I'm going to Trenton and change the way business is done in Trenton. Everybody's going to lower property taxes, too.
Well, Steve, we wish you the best, and we hope you get about 200 other legislators on your side to share your platform.
It would be nice if you were feeling if it was contagious and it spread.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, once they get there, there's nothing. How many candidates can you remember who are going to reduce property taxes? Even come up with figures. I think it was doing the Corzine administration when he was running. I forget he was running against. Again, it was a Republican, I guess a wealthy businessman. And this person came out and said, if I'm elected, we're going to reduce property taxes 10%. The other party came back and says, we're going to reduce them 15%.
Yeah.
And you get into this, they're practicing escalatio on the public.
I think the most
And then they don't do anything once they get in there.
The most recent one was promising 10%, 30% over 4 years. And the best they did was stem the tide, pretty much. It didn't go up, but it didn't come down.
We don't want the tide spending. We want the damn thing cut down or cut out, except local.
Right.
School, figure out a way to fund education.
Right. Other states do. Why are we the only ones that are burdened like crazy? And you talk about the tax threshold, about the national tax thing with the $10,000 deduction. It's our own fault. Why are our damn taxes so damn high around here? Other states, $3,000 to $5,000 on average for property taxes, and that's even high. And we're at $10,000 average.
And like Delaware, they don't have one at all.
Right, absolutely.
Oh, it was something that you said it triggered a thought, but the thought will come back, I'm sure. Mark says, can you please ask the candidates to repeal the 0.27 gas tax? The 27-cent gas tax. Why would politicians tax gas in the most heavily congested state in the country? Well, that's... Let's see. How do I answer that? I got this in a conversation I had with James Carville. Remember the legendary political advisor who was very instrumental in the Clinton administration? Talking to Jim Carville one time and asked the question, why does somebody do something? And his answer was, and he was from the South, so he had a lot of Southernisms here. He said, well, it's the same reason you ask, why can a dog do certain offices
to himself? Yes. Because he can.
He can. There you go. I'm not going to get into the, okay, well, let's see, how do you, this is way off the point, but how do you guys feel about
undocumented immigrants?
Oh, okay. Let me get back to Steve again. Steve was kind enough to get in touch with
you. Thank you, Steve.
Steve says we're going to cut business taxes to increase business development. Yeah, okay, here's the thing. Steve is right. Yeah. The new survey out, Dan, you'll remember this, and Lou and everybody here, Bob. Survey out, I think it was yesterday, that we are once again the least business-friendly, or turn it around, the most business-hostile state in the country.
Yes.
And this is for the, sixth straight year,
that
is the worst state to do business in. Now, who is we? Is that the imperial we, like Queen Victoria, just like, you know, me and God? Or is this a group? I have no idea, but it says we. Lots of luck.
And did you hear the bad business news yesterday that the Honeywell Corporation, is going to be moving their headquarters out of New Jersey at Mars Plains down to Charlotte.
Hmm.
That's several jobs. That's several thousand jobs going to be leaving from their corporate headquarters. They've been there for goodness.
That's interesting.
Years.
How many in tax abatements did we give them in the first place for coming here? I don't know.
Right.
But that's a big issue right now. They're still fighting over that.
Yeah.
The governor wants a cap on the amount of money, tax abatements, you can give a business to come to New Jersey. Steve Sweeney and the other side of it do not want a cap because they say in order to run, in order to get the business here, that you have to be open with this, whatever it takes, in relation to what you're going to get back.
Yes.
And there were a lot of abuses in it before. They're trying to straighten that up now. But that's a huge issue right now. To continue with Steve here, we plan on reducing every department's budget by 5% a year for three straight years. And he says, my running mate is Paul Dilks. You vote for two assembly candidates. That's true. Okay, guys, good luck to you.
Thank you, Steve.
I don't mean to be that cynical, and I'm not poo-pooing what you said. I think it's excellent. But we have heard about these things before. What else? I guess the big national story now is this Ukraine thing that the media is beating the heck out of. You know, and again, just doing a little bit of a lull here, I think one of the problems that we have that's causing this huge, frantic explosion of interest in deals that may or may not have been made between the heads of government, I think that's because we do not really teach or study history anymore. This has always been done. And you might say, okay, well, we're going to blow the whistle. It's not going to be done anymore, that you make an agreement with a head of a foreign state to something that what increases your own chance of success in your own country. All countries do that. All of these deals, as we've said so many times, everything significant that government does is done out of your sight.
Right.
It's all done like this, and it always has been done. It may not be good. This relates to the business of the Russian interference in an election campaign. Of course there was Russian interference in it. Of course we interfered in their election. We have interfered, documented, in I believe it was 50-some different countries' elections, tried to influence them through CIA and economic and other activity since World War II. We do it. Countries do that. Why would you not do it? If you have dealings and you have an important relationship with a country,
if you have an advantage,
their leaders are important to you, who their leaders are. So you would see who is going to be best for my programs, my agenda, and my relation with this country, and I'll do what I can to support them.
Right.
Consequently, I'll do what I can to undercut the other guy. This is always done. It will continue to be done. And don't let somebody in the deep state say, we don't do that.
It's the first time ever that someone country has
This government, the CIA and these agencies are virgins when it comes to chicanery, trying to manipulate other governments. Of course we've done. We've participated in regime changes. Tried to. How many times did they try to kill Castro?
Right.
Exploding cigars. Yeah. Now, some of these things.
They never got that rascal,
We were doing things. We've always done. And history is full of these things. So it doesn't make it right. But on the other hand, it's done. It's part of the game. People, conversations that leaders have with leaders of other countries, whether it's above board, or there's always a back door. There's always a back channel in which, like the Cuban Missile Crisis, the back door channel between, I think it was Kennedy and Khrushchev. As I understand it, I think it came through an English journalist who somehow had been sort of the under chain of command between the communication there, because they could say things in negotiating with those just below the level of Khrushchev and Kennedy, and you could speak openly and seriously. And so publicly, you say, we're going to have an embargo, you know, on this shipment or something. We're going to do economic thing. Under then the word could have gotten back, said, look, do this or we're going to blow your ass out of the water.
Right.
So, and we're armed and loaded.
And what's to be surprised about that? They talk like they do when the doors are closed or whatever.
Steve Sofka, unfortunate to any Democrat with good intentions, the high-ranked Democrats who are now making a mockery of the judicial system are ruining your party. So Republicans for me and only Republicans. Okay, Steve, I understand that. When we talk about Democrats, here's another problem. Somebody was telling me one time, well, we don't know where you can stand politically because sometimes you're against this and you're for that. Who says you have to be consistent? It was Emerson, the great American philosopher, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. The consistency is, but we are expected to be. If you say, pick one thing here, immigration reform. Then it's assumed that you're also for every other thing that the administration or the Congress are building a wall. I mean, everything else that they do, you approve of.
You can't be an a la carte, right?
Well, of course. And I'm surprised in New Jersey that there's so many knee-jerk Democratic voters, because most of the registered voters are undeclared. I think 60-some percent of the voters in New Jersey are undeclared.
And that's the
unknown factor here. I think voter turnout, we discussed this with Eric Scott, the dismal state of voter turnout, that's one reason. Who was it, the governor? I believe it was Governor Corzine, not trying to pick on him, but just remembering that particular election. I believe that he was elected by less than a fourth of the people, of the eligible voters, because the others didn't vote. This is what happens. That's what comes up this time. And if the Republicans do not manage to come up with somebody, probably run Bruce Springsteen or somebody with name recognition.
He'd probably do pretty well.
Well, in Minnesota, they ran Jesse Ventura, who was known mostly as a wrestler.
He won.
And working with Arnold and the Predator, and he won.
Yeah.
He had the name.
Yeah.
Everybody know Arnold. Look at Arnold in California. Why do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger got elected? It wasn't because of his deep political acumen.
So what was Eric's prediction for voter turnout coming up in a couple of weeks?
He was talking about 15%. No, I don't know that he. No, I don't think he made that prediction specifically for this upcoming election. 15% turnout. I think what he said that if the trend continues,
it will
get out of that to the point at which, as Eric said, said sometime they're going to have an election and nobody will come. It's like Carl Sandburg, the poet's old line: someday they're going to give a war. And nobody will come.
So we have over 9 million residents in New Jersey.
About 9 million residents.
I don't know how many are registered voters. Who knows who's
going to show up. A lot. No, that's good. The people do register.
Yeah.
But
here's the president of the Jim Gerhart Fan Club.
No.
Rose Marie. Oh, come on. Let me shame you. Let me embarrass you. Jim Gerhart, the voice of reason. I'd say you should run for office, but you're too honest and intelligent.
Not to mention too old and too tired.
But you're good looking. Huh? You're charismatic. You've got a future, boy.
Well, they said, how old was Moses biblically when he led the Israelites out of Egypt? I think he was supposed to be 120 or something. I got a lot of time. I got scads
right.
of time.
So I guess we're almost
okay.
Wrapped, right?
I think we're running. I was just looking to see. I'm not going to do it. I ran across a quote from Gandhi, and I want to do this next week because I think it's very serious. This could be extremely significant, not in this election, but in what's going on in the country. Gandhi, whom I admire very much, he said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." Mm. Now, you don't have to remember that or embroider it on your sampler or something. On your arm, just under death before dishonor with your tattoo. But I thought that was significant because I have referred to this squabble, this great discord that's going on in the country, much of it, as politics of revenge. And I think to a large extent it is. It is groups now who have felt realistically or have been persuaded that they have been somehow mistreated. And I mean, it's obvious there are ethnic groups that, again, we'll get into later. And it is inescapable. It's like you feel that you and your people have been bullied by the school bully for years, and all of a sudden now you find out you can get up, you can sock the bully. Mm. And once you do that, the urge to do that, I think, is inescapable. And I think there's a lot of that in this politics. Especially some of the politicians. We have one Jersey politician in the presidential campaign who I think pretty much has based his campaign on that. It's sort of under the surface, but it is there. This is your chance to get even.
Yeah.
But it would seem, again, if Gandhi is right, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. So how do you get over that? Well, the quickest way is to make the weak stronger. Maybe we'll try to think of ways to do that. All right, I think that will about...
Good show.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Again, we have another one of these sessions before
next
the...
Next Thursday.
Before the election.
On Halloween. We have to think of a costume. We have a week.
You used to do that.
Yeah,
no,
we'll talk
never
about
did.
That next week.
Uh-oh.
You ever bring some pictures.
Yeah. Were you ever SpongeBob?
Yeah.
I think you were SpongeBob. You were every Bob,
every
I think.
I ran out of Bobs.
You ran out of Bobs. Okay. So, anyway, listen, thanks very much. I'm happy for people participating. Yeah. We missed a lot of things that people said, unfortunately, because we were trying to focus pretty much on this attempt to do some political. Dan, you're looking over here curiously like,
everything's good, right?
He's like the gong show. He's got the crook.
Yep, he's ready to hit the gong. So we're ready to take off, and we'll talk to you.
Yeah, okay, we'll do it again. Have yourself a great
week.
Think about this. Get acquainted, anyway, with some of the local stuff, because it could be something important to you. It could be a local issue.
It all starts on the local level.
We'll talk about it next week.
Thanks.
Oh, forgot. How do you do that?
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.